lacrosse friends, welcome to Box La Beat on Inside Lacrosse Podcast. I am Paul Day, and joining me is Patrick Merrill. That's not really true. I'm Stephen Stamp, the host of the show, and I'm joined by Marty O'Neill from Inside Lacrosse Indoor as well. And we are playing Paul Day and Patrick Merrill today because we are doing a mock expansion draft. Marty slash Patrick, welcome to the show.
Hey, Stephen. Thanks for having me.
So the rules will be, we are going to go through, I will be Philadelphia since I live in the East. Marty will be San Diego since he lives in the West. And we will go through the draft order starting Philadelphia, San Diego, alternating, and make our nine selections each. Each team can lose two players, no more, no less. So once two players are gone from that team, nobody can be picked from them, but everyone does get nine picks, which means you got to take somebody from whether it's Saskatchewan, Vancouver, whoever. Each team will lose two players. We will do our best to be fairly accurate. We know some guys are unrestricted free agents. They're probably not going to get picked unless you're going to franchise somebody. And we're, Marty, in terms of that, you know, you can pick someone if they are a free agent, but unless you're going to franchise them, there's no point.
Exactly. And I'm not clear on the rule because I'm just not up to date, but I know in Minnesota in 2005, I was not allowed to franchise any UFAs.
So even more reason to stay away from the UFAs. But there's some talent out there regardless of that. And there are some other factors. I wrote in my musings this morning, I mentioned that Jeff Cornwall is going into the fire department, will be a probationary firefighter this year and will not be playing. I actually heard that from,
we think.
I can tell you his brother told me that.
Okay.
So I feel fairly confident that that's actually happening. So little things like that do have an impact. You can see the entire lists at the NLL site. We also posted it on ilindoor.com. So you can check that out and have a look as we go. We are going to get anything else we need to add, Marty. First of all, Marty is, as he alluded to, a former National Lacrosse League GM, maybe a future National Lacrosse League GM. Two, I'd be giving you a call if I had a franchise, which is part of why I wanted to have you on for this, because I think you have great insight into the players and the process.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate that. I would just say I'm pretty sure that they can take UFAs now and franchise immediately. So
we might do that, but you'd only do one because you only have one franchise tag. So you wouldn't pick more than one UFA.
Exactly.
All right. On the clock with the first pick of their resuscitated franchise or their new Philadelphia Wings franchise are the Philadelphia Wings. I am representing them. And with the first pick in the 2018 expansion draft, we select Brett Hickey of the Toronto Rock. And the reason I'm taking Brett Hickey, I'll just elaborate a little bit, is pure goal scoring is a beautiful and difficult thing to find. And Brett Hickey is a former 50-goal scorer. He's had some injuries, but some of them flukes, like he stepped on a ball in warm-up and broke his foot. What are you going to do? I don't think he's injury-prone. He's a great team guy, a great room guy, a very hard worker. He will work hard to get back to full health. And he's just a great shooter.
Yeah, and you know, the best thing about Brett Hickey is that he's learned at every level from junior B to pro how to get there. So he didn't have any missteps or have any misgivings about how he's there and how hard he's got to work to stay there. And it's always nice to have a guy who can put the ball in the power play when you're top 10 guys.
Sorry, I had to laugh because you said he hasn't had any missteps when we just talked about him stepping on a ball in practice and breaking his foot. On the clock with pick number two, the San Diego Seals making their first expansion selection. Marty.
Well, it's tough with this loaded righty draft. Who do you take? Do you take a young guy? Do you take a veteran guy? It's more, I think, a pick of being able to maybe do something with that player if you don't keep him yourself. So we're going to take Courier from Rochester.
Okay. So Josh Courier from the Rochester Nighthawks goes. So we have one Rock and one Nighthawk are gone. And now that is interesting because I think most people assume that I, Paul Day, who is the GM in Philadelphia and in Peterborough, will be wanting Josh Currier. So you said something about, you know, you mentioned doing something with him. I assume you're going to open the negotiations for trading right away.
I think you would have to. He's the, I think, the most visible piece in this draft as far as being that player that can be utilized to keep or to trade for picks, a high pick, or multiple players. So, and then you can't go wrong with him as a righty. I would have also thought about, you know, Chase Fraser or Keogh or Matisse or, you know, even Craig England I like as a setup guy, but not as a first pick. So, anyhow, he's just the best offensive player I think that is available.
Well, speaking of players that offensive players, but a guy who's played some defense and possible trade bait as well, with the third pick in the draft, the Philadelphia Wings will select Chase Fraser.
Wow.
And Marty / Patrick, my phone is open. If you would like to get that West Coast super talented, super athletic young player onto the Seals, give me a call.
Yeah, well, we'll see how that works out. Okay, well, I'm just going to keep moving along here. Yeah. I am taking, even with the red flag, I'm taking Jeff Cornwall.
I think that's an interesting pick because of that red flag. I had said in my story, you can go to islandor.com and look at my musings where I talk about all this. I said, you know what? I'd be pretty tempted to take him anyway, even if he's gone for the year. He'll come back the year after that. And he's such a tremendous defender and transition player. And I mean, he's so solid. It's hard to say no.
Yeah. And again, I wouldn't take him to trade him because he's got lots of miles left in him, but these things have a way of working out that he might be available come trade deadline. And then he's a piece. It's tough for an expansion team to sit on a guy, but this is the year you want to be doing it. You want to take a few lumps in your first year. So, you know, he's just, again, the best player available in the draft. So
now, one of the factors that we've talked about is two players per team. So once someone is taken from a team, if you want somebody else from that team, you'd better jump. And that has actually made me juggle my board a little bit, not much, but a little bit. And with the fifth pick in the draft, the Philadelphia Wings take Adrian Sorokedi from the Saskatchewan Rush.
Yeah.
I mean, terrific transition player. He didn't used to be a great defensive player, but he has worked very hard and made himself a very good defensive player. I think he's a dynamic force, and I think he's really going to do some great things.
Right. Not an interesting pick, but I'm thinking offense before defense as far as getting your guys, but he's definitely everything you said and more. He's improving, it seems, every year. Now, this year, nobody on the Rush defense stood out, which is a good thing. They all seem to just toe the line and do their thing. But 2 years ago, Sorokedi was up the floor scoring goals, stripping guys. Just, he was very noticeable and very much standing out from the pack and showing that he could play with the rest of those guys. And probably their level has brought his level up.
And I've got Brett Hickey and Chase Fraser, who I'm planning, if I keep him, to run out the front door. So I've got two tremendous righties up there. So I felt like I could go for a lefty transition guy at this point.
I hear you.
Sixth pick in the draft, San Diego.
Ooh, tough pick here. Do you take an Eastern player again? Or do you take a Western player? Tough call. But I think Riley Lowen is my next pick.
Okay. So Riley Lowen of the Calgary Roughnecks, and interesting because Calgary has a number of players, like most of the teams have a number of players, and that are very tempting. And when you take Riley Lowen, you're getting a solid lefty who's played very well. in as he's gotten more opportunity. He was in Saskatchewan, went to Calgary, he's got more opportunity. And boy, I remember watching him in the Man Cup playing for the Maple Ridge Barrage. And this guy is a good athlete, a good lacrosse player. That's a pretty good pick.
Yeah, he works hard. There's no mystery to his game. He's crashing in the corners and he's setting other guys up and he plays big. And, you know, he's streaky with his scoring and he's on. There's been a few periods when, you know, Calgary's right side's getting a lot of attention and he's getting good shots and he's filling the net. So it's not really his job or role, but he can do it. And on an expansion team, he'd probably get a lot more opportunity to carry the ball and shoot the ball. So. Yeah. You might see him at his best.
On the clock, Philadelphia Wings, and with this, and I will say, goaltending is such an important position. It's so hard to find when they're just right now. It doesn't feel to me like there are enough bona fide starting goaltenders in the National Lacrosse League. I want to make sure that we, the Philadelphia Wings, have a goalie that we can count on for the next decade or more. He may not be ready to be a premier starter right away, but I think that Kevin Orleman of the Georgia Swarm is going to be between the pipes for Philadelphia for a long time.
Ooh, some bold ones.
Yeah, I like to.
I didn't mean to do that. That's why I laughed. It was coming out of my mouth and I realized what I'd said.
I know that was quite a pun, but the thing for me is I looked at all the goalies and I thought, who do I think in say 3 years when this team is built up, has fleshed out the bones that are being put together today, who can be a starting goalie that can lead you to a championship? And I think that might be Kevin Orleman. And if I'm wrong, there's lots of other goalies I'm going to try out anyway, but to me, he may be the guy who stands out. When we look back, he could be the guy that people are saying, wow, what a fantastic pick. Or they could be saying, why did you take him in the fourth round of the expansion draft? Who knows?
Right. Wow.
San Diego Seals.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Kyle Matisse.
There you go. And that, I assume, is at least partially influenced, again, by the two players per team rule.
Well,
I've been your next guy.
Yeah, no, he's just the next best guy available. And you know, I'm hoping to have some West guys land on my lap that I like, but Chase Fraser's gone. So I got Kyle Matisse and he's a good guy to play or trade or, you know, having the fold for a couple of years still. And he's got some veteran presence now. So I don't mind that pick at all.
Okay. You mentioned how many good righties there are, righty forwards in this draft. You've just taken one. That would make, if you count Chase Fraser as a forward, which I'm doing, that makes four of them gone already. Hickey, Courier, Fraser, and Matisse. Yeah, so I'm going to make it five and just shore up my right side by taking Phil Caputo of the Toronto Rock. Who played defense for them, but he is ripping it up again, having another great summer with the Brampton Excelsiors. I think he's really developed as a player. I think he's a guy who can be, again, a strong presence for this team for many years.
Well, you just shut off the Rock's remaining available players, and so McCarter will have to go to the Seals in another vein, but anyways. You got me there.
That was another one where I'm thinking, okay, I need to get Caputo if I'm going to get him before. Not even that you're necessarily going to take him, but that possibly, you know, you take somebody else from Toronto and then I can't get him. And I think he's a great building block.
Well, yeah, I mean, at this time, there's going to be moves that are going to be obvious that the GMs really feel like, or the coaches or the staff, they really feel like they want this guy and his flight's going to take off here in the NHL and they're going to have themselves a player. So, yeah. And there is going to be a few of those guys. I mean, there already is on existing teams every year, but expansion can really put some extra touches into an offensive player's stick and, you know, put extra into a defensive player's runner. So, that's where you're gonna the rubber hits the road to a lot of these guys.
Yeah. And I mean, we're talking about righties. Marty Dinsdale is a guy that I had on my list and was certainly interested in, but can't take him. Saskatchewan's quota is done. So I really wanted to get Caputo. And now the San Diego Seals on the clock with pick number 10.
Ooh. Well, I think I'm going to go off the board for 50 here and take a player that I just talked about in the up and coming stages. And that will be Frank Brown.
Ah! Okay, so if you could see my sheet in front of me, Frank Brown was my next guy, and I was waffling. Caputo or Brown, I know, I thought you might take him, and I was like, do I wait on Caputo, but then what if he takes away from Toronto? I was hoping to get through one more. Frank Brown is a stud athlete. He was mostly an offensive guy in junior and senior B, where he'd score, you know, lots and lots of points in the Can-Am League. He has been converted to a defender, did reasonably well for Georgia, was having some growing pains of getting into the pro league and that, but boy, he looked good with Rochester, and I think you've got a dandy right there.
Yeah, this kid is like, he cruises up the floor with the ball. He just blows right by people, and he's only going to get better. And I think he played a little bit of offense in college, or correct me if I'm wrong, but he played some box in Six Nations too. And he just fits that role. I mean, the other guy I was considering, but I'd leave him for the East, is Rannigan, who is another guy I really, really like as far as being athletic. And I think would be even better if he had more time and more responsibility. So I think, you know, Brown will be able to have a year to develop here and just go out there and make mistakes and get better.
Yeah, and the interesting thing with Frank Brown, again, I mean, like we said, there's a lot of righty forwards. He was playing defense with Rochester, but boy, he can play forward. That's his more natural, more comfortable position. I'll tell you, I've watched him a few times play with the Six Nations Chiefs this summer, and he's looking good in the summer as well, playing out the back door. And he's that's a great pick. And
I'm more familiar with him just from watching him play for Rochester, but yeah. Why I'm a little bit murky on his past is going to get him and Zed Williams mixed up a lot.
Yeah, well, you know, they're from the same area. They were high school teammates, I believe. Yeah, I'm sure of it, actually. And at Silver Creek High, I believe it was, in upstate New York, and both tremendous athletes. And I'm pretty upset that you just picked my guy, but onward and upward. I will take a guy who I have a couple of question marks about, because I'm not sure why he is on this list. Maybe it's an injury factor. Maybe it's a work factor. I'm not sure, but I'm going to take Cam Holding of the Colorado Mammoth. And feel free to let me know that I've just made a huge mistake. If there's some reason it's not it won't work. But boy, he's a tremendous player, a great defender, can work in transition, great leader. I know he's the head coach at Michigan State, which works pretty well for Philadelphia. That's not far away.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the reason why he's on the list is, you know, there's always the problem that he or Dan Coates won't recover to full potential after an injury like that. It's happened before. It'll happen again. But I think it's really just that, you know, come spring season, there's Saturdays he won't be available to play. So that's definitely why he's exposed in the draft. And it's, you know, your decision to live with that. But great guy in the room. Another guy who's earned every step he's gone up the ladder and is, you know, obviously coaching now, but is just that kind of player that you could build a team around.
And depending how many games he can make, he might be my captain with the Wings.
Yeah.
I'm taking on this Paul Dey persona quite well, right?
Yeah.
San Diego Seals on the clock, pick number 12.
Well, now that we've gotten deep into the defense on your side, you're giving me all sorts of options to build my offense, and I'm really twisted here again. I got an Eastern guy I really like in Daryl Digby.
Tyler Digby.
I'm getting mixed up with his dad again. And Johnny Palace, who, you know, has been bouncing around, but when he puts his mind to it, and he's still only 26, he can create points. And again, another Eastern guy. And kind of like Casey Jackson's game, he's getting better all the time. Perfect for an expansion team. Also like Taylor from The Rock, but he's gone.
Yeah.
McArdle's gone. I like Garrett Thull again. Kind of want to leave him for Philadelphia. Feel like that's the best place for him. I don't even know if he's available anymore, but tons of upside.
Yeah, I mean, he's in the Army, right? I don't know his availability to play.
Yeah, yeah. So just, you know, I think because I got an expansion team, I want to stick with the theme. I want to go a little bit younger and a little bit more of the kind of guys that I think I can build something around. And so it's really a toss-up between Sweetling and Edwards, because I really like Edwards' game, and everybody needs a real good draw guy, and he's turned into one, but he can also play. And then Sweetling just had a breakout year. I thought he was awesome this year for Colorado, and I've never been a huge fan before. I just thought he was a, you know, just another guy, but he stood out from the rest of their just other guys this year, and you know, stepping up into the role that was left by the injury. So,
well, I will give you a bit of friendly advice before you hand in your card and make this final, because if you take a Colorado guy, that's it for Colorado, so it's not going to affect me. I'm a big Bryce Sweeting fan. I get to see him play all the time in the summer. I think he had a breakout year in Colorado too. I have heard that he has some work issues. I believe he works for Hydro, Ontario Hydro, and my understanding is he won't be able to make Friday games. He's not going to be able to leave Friday for games. So if that has an impact between, to me, Tim Edwards and Bryce Sweeting's actually a toss-up as well. I was thinking about both of them too.
All right. Well, thanks for that heads up. And I guess I'm taking Tim Edwards.
There you go. I think we could see that kind of cooperation between the team, because you're a GM. This maybe is a good time to just bring it up. You're a former GM in the league. You're on top of things. You're in touch with a lot of things in the league. When there are expansion drafts, the teams are going to be talking to each other. They're going to be sharing a certain amount of information, and also they're talking to other teams, and there are all kinds of deals that we don't know about for, you know, take this guy, don't take that guy. As we saw, I got a lot of publicity with the Las Vegas Golden Knights last year in the NHL.
Yeah, there's, you know, almost the whole draft will be mapped out before it's done by those two teams, because they will be doing their own deals to manipulate the teams and the players in the draft that are exposed, so they can get what they want from the teams, whether it's buybacks or flipping a guy from one team to another team. As I sort of explained to you the other day, when Edmonton came in the league, I lost Scotty Campbell, and at the end of the draft, they announced he'd already been traded to Toronto, and I was like, oh, no, it's not a problem. Stuff like that happens.
Yeah. So pick 13. Boy, this is one where we might actually need to have a discussion, because I actually really like Casey Jackson as well, but he's a, you know, West Coast guy. Makes a lot of sense for him to be out there. And I'm thinking, okay, a lefty forward, should I just take Johnny Palace? Because he's on my list as well. And he's, you know, he's in the East. And I'm going to take Palace, because you know what? I feel like Casey Jackson deserves a chance to try to play. And he deserves a chance to, you know, be on the West Coast and be good for them. So if you're interested in Jackson, I'll leave him and I'll take Johnny Palace. And you can flip me a fourth rounder later.
All right. Sounds like a deal.
There you go. And with the 14th, and Johnny Palace, of course, only 25 years old. I wrote it in my story this morning. He's a young player still. He came in at 18, won three straight championships, and, you know, a very talented lefty player who hasn't gone on to be the superstar that people envisioned him being, but he scored as many as 72 points in the season, the one year with Georgia. And, I mean, he's a very good player.
He is. That's for sure. So am I indebted now to take Jackson, or do I get to leave him off till the end?
Well, I kind of feel like you should take him.
All right. I'll take him.
Okay. I think that's a good pick. I mean, there's only four picks left after this.
And, yeah.
You know, so yeah, I think that's reasonable. So let's see. We've got Toronto's out. We had two from them. Rochester is out. Saskatchewan is out.
Yeah. Colorado is
Georgia
out.
Georgia is out. And Colorado is out. Yeah, Georgia's out because we had Orleman and Matisse back to back.
Yep.
That's five teams. Yeah.
Vancouver, New England, Buffalo, and Calgary.
One each, right?
Yep.
Okay. So I will take, with the 15th pick in the draft, the Philadelphia Wings, Paul Day will take Chad Cummings from the Calgary Roughnecks.
Ooh.
Bit of a dark horse, I think. I'm not sure that a lot of people would take him, but and it also closes the door in Calgary and leaves Mr. Frank Chiliano in Calgary. But I really like Chad Cummings. I just think he's a terrific transition player, really tough defender. And I'm just very impressed with his game. I've gotten to see him play a lot, and I think he's really good. And I want him on my team, and I don't want to miss him because somebody grabs another Calgary player.
Yep. Well, you stopped me from taking Digby because that would have probably been my next pick just because you can do so much with him on offense with his size.
And it's a strange, kind of a strange pick for me. Maybe, you know, maybe I should have taken Tyler Digby because he lives in Pittsburgh. He could drive to games in Philadelphia. I don't actually know how long a drive that is, but it's within the state. It can't be that far.
Right. So we're down to Buffalo, New England, and Vancouver. That's it?
Yes. Buffalo, New England, and Vancouver.
Hmm. Well, I guess I'm going to have to take Chris O'Doherty because he's American. He's West Coast. He's still got some miles left in him, and I like his energy. I always have.
Yeah, he's a terrific defender, class guy. Speaking of potential captains, that is a guy who could easily be a captain for a club. I don't know his contract status. I assume he's not a UFA, but I don't know. If he is, we'll let you do a repick at some point later.
Is he? Yeah.
I don't know. That's
what. Well, you know what? I can I renege the pick?
If you want to, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I'll just leave him alone because, Let's leave it at that. I was actually going to pick a guy sooner, and then I thought, well, you've already picked a goalie, so I'm not going to pick a goalie. But I think, you know, in hindsight, that was a mistake, so I get a wash on that pick. So I'm taking Zach Higgins.
Okay. Well, there you go. That takes Buffalo out, and I had actually already moved Zach Higgins into my spot on the page for the next pick. No, that's good. You've got him. Zach Higgins, and good for him getting a chance to be a starting goalie.
Yeah. I've been watching all the goalies, and I think, you know, Higgins really got pushed when he was in Minnesota. I think there was a real agenda there to make him their guy, and he just wasn't ready for it yet. And it kind of rerouted Carlson's career, who was already on that path, I thought, and he's never been on it since. But anyways, Higgins has done well in lots of different environments, you know, whether it's CELAX, whether it's international play, whether it's, you know, spot duty in the NHL. He's had lots of really good moments in the NHL. This year he came into Buffalo again and beat Saskatchewan and proven that he can play at this level time and time again. It's the consistency issue, and the consistency issue will work itself out when he gets to just take the net and have it for 18 games and not play against his backup and not play against some factor that is uncontrollable for him. Now all he's got to do is show up and work hard, and he's proven he can do that. So I think, you know, he's a good guy. And I think a couple of the young goalies fit the same mold, your Orleman and your UK, any of those guys. That's why I kind of predicted UK would do good in Buffalo last year, is just because he's going to get to take the net and work it out. So,
I really like the pick. I may have seen Zach Higgins play more than Yeah. Honest, I mean, I watched him in CLAX. I've called plenty of his games in CLAX, in the Arena League, where he was the MVP of the first Arena League, Arena Lacrosse League Cup. I called the games in Europe, in Turku, for the European Championships, where he led Israel to a gold medal in the first ever European Championships, and he was fantastic. His worst moment of those championships were, I think it was the semifinal win, or might have been the final, maybe it was final, where he, it was in the Arena League, when they won the championship, the Oshawa Outlaws, and he came running out and did a pad slide and basically wiped out about three of his guys because he lost control sliding on his pads and almost broke somebody's leg as he slid into them. So he learns from his mistakes, though, because in Israel, or in Turku, Finland, when Israel won the championship, he came out and did a slide again, but a much more controlled fashion, didn't hurt anybody. So I think he's a great young, great goalie, and or has a chance to be a very good goalie. That's the thing. Like you said, he hasn't really had the chance at this level to carry the load and know that he's the guy. And he had the highest save percentage in the National Lacrosse League in 2017. Only played part of one game, but he was fantastic for Calgary in that game. And like you said, beat Saskatchewan with Buffalo this year. Like, he's done it.
You are correct.
My final pick in this expansion draft. Boy, it goes by quick. Pick number 17. So we have New England and Vancouver available. And I am torn. I had considered the possibility of another goalie because I think you need some goalies, but I'm actually going to take a guy who has a lot of potential. And at my ninth pick, I don't mind taking him because I think I'm taking Anthony Joachim, D Tranny from the New England Black Wolves. I think he had a poor summer before he was drafted. He still went in the first round to New England because Clem D'Orazio was his GM with the Toronto Beaches in junior, and Glenn Clark was his coach. So they know, they'd seen what he could do. I didn't think he played well last summer. I didn't think he played particularly well this year with New England for the most part. In the first half of the season, I thought he was getting better. He's looking better this summer. I think with his athleticism, his talent, I think there's a lot of upside for him. And again, if he's not very good for a year or two and then becomes really good, who cares? Because we're expecting to lose some games in the next couple of years anyway.
Yeah. So again, a young guy that you take a chance on, but you can grow with them, and you can be rest assured that there'll be a couple of free agent guys that do exactly that, that just come out of nowhere and surprise you. And you know, you're just laughing 5 years after the fact that, you know, nobody thought anything of a guy like Brock Boyle or John Sullivan or Travis Hill or what, Eric Pacey, and those guys aren't superstars, but they're holding their own, and you're building a team with them. So
great examples.
Oh, so I guess I got Chris Odori anyways.
I was just going to say, I've already put him in for you.
You know, the only reason I was taking him was because he's a West Coast guy, and because you'd already taken a goalie, I thought, oh, that's easy for me then. I don't have to take Higgins until my last pick.
Yeah, there you go. And I'll tell you, I was seriously considering Higgins with my last pick if you hadn't taken him. I could have gone with two goalies. I could do that. Let Higgy play for a couple of years.
I actually thought he might take Bold there, but you didn't take Garrett Thall. Do you know anything about him?
I mean, I know about him as a player. I don't know his availability. You know, he hasn't been able to play for a few years because of his Army commitments. And I've heard here and there over the last couple of years at times that he was going to come back. And it hasn't really happened. I believe he went to camp in New England. He's a heck of an athlete. Big, strong, good stick.
He's something, and big and offensive. So, I hope we haven't seen the end of him, because, you know, there's been a couple of guys that just kind of came and were interesting and then we're done, like Mike Manley, and I forgot the other fella's name. He had a real bad injury, but he was a monstrous defensive guy. He had two injuries. He came back from one and had another one and just hung him up. But yeah, there's some of those American guys that kind of got into Philadelphia, you know, way back when, and, you know, doing it. And some of them looked pretty good. And Thull and Rannigan were the two that stood out to me. And
yeah, I remember watching John.
I don't know what happened to CJ Constable, but he could take a draw, and who could forget that goal he scored in overtime for the NCAA final? But he could play. Yeah. I don't know why he's not playing.
I don't know, and I mean, Thule would be a pretty good pick. I I mean, I went with Joakim. I think maybe my you know, my coaching staff or my assistant GM or someone could have talked me into switching to Thule, especially as an American guy. I think, you know, it's there's benefit to having Americans on the roster as a U.S. team, especially as an expansion team. And do I have any Americans? I don't know if I took any. Nope, I didn't. I took all Canadians. Well, and Johnny Palace's First Nations.
And let's talk about three guys that didn't get taken. Dan Dawson, Stephen Keogh, and Brody Merrill.
Okay, exactly. All free
agents. Aaron Bold. You throw Aaron Bold. Four.
Aaron Bold. Throw him. All free agents. You'd have to franchise them. Brody Merrill, I mean, I think there are different factors. His brother Patrick is the GM in San Diego. So, you know, I was thinking you might take him because you're thinking you, Patrick, can convince him to come and play for you. Also, he may have told you, hey, I'm not coming out there. You go out there. The Merrill family, Patrick and Brody, along with their parents, run the Hill Academy in Vaughan, Ontario, just north of Toronto. And I can't imagine that they would both go out to the West Coast.
Neither can I. And that's the thing, is that, you know, maybe that happens in a buyback situation with Toronto. I don't know, but
because Brody Merrill's more valuable to Toronto than he is to San Diego because of that, because he needs to be in Toronto, right? I agree with you. Merrill, Stephen Keogh, free agent. You can franchise tag him. He can't reject the franchise tag because he's under 34. So you could take him. He can score. He had a terrific resurgence last year with Colorado. But I just avoid the free agent when there are other guys that are younger and you don't have to deal with that.
Yeah. So, I mean, ditto with Bold. I would go with a young goalie at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know about getting I think Aaron Bold's 33, a 33-year-old goalie. For an expansion team, to me, seems like, you know, by the time I keep thinking it's going to be about 3 years before they're really competitive for a championship. If they build well, it'll be 3 years. So why take a guy who's going to be 36? I mean, now Aaron Bolt's in great shape. He's a personal trainer. He's a fitness freak. So he can probably keep playing for a while, but his play has suffered the last 3 years. He has not had good seasons. So, you know, you just got to wonder about that. I mean, Matt Vince is a guy who is a free agent, and Rochester protected him because I think they felt that somebody would pick him and would put the franchise tag on him and they'd lose him. So that's, you know, that was my thinking in that case.
Yeah, well, I mean, Matt Vince is my MVP of the championship final on a losing team. Like, he's the factor that made it close when Rochester and Saskatchewan. He stole a game. I mean, he was really solid in the first half of the other two and held him in there. So, you know, he can still play, and he's just as much, if not more, of a fitness guy than Bold. They're kind of the status quo of the past, but I guess even Elliott late in his career found the gym and really is quite like a muscle-bound guy, but not like those two. Those two guys are unbelievable.
Yeah. It's interesting. When Matt Vince and Aaron Bold were the goalies for the Rochester Nighthawks together before Bold was traded out to Edmonton at the time, and the team came in for their fitness testing at the beginning of training camp, those two were the top two guys in the fitness testing for the whole team. I can't imagine that has ever happened for a National Lacrosse League team at any other time.
I'm sure it has.
Yeah. Do you want to go through something? I mean, we can go through each team and take a quick peek at some of the guys who weren't picked. Starting with Buffalo, we can go alphabetically. And Alex Bouquet not taken because Zach Higgins was. And, of course, Fraser went. There's some good guys there. Vaughn Harris not taken. Craig England, I think, was another guy. I really like Zach Reed, but nobody's talking about him. I don't think anybody would take him, but I think he's one of the more underrated defenders around.
Yeah, you know, I don't. He's another guy I get mixed up with Reed Acton, but Zach Reed was a New England guy originally, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, he's big and strong. I did notice him quite a bit this year.
Yeah, throws huge hits.
Yeah, so he would be a guy, but it would be a nice piece, but there's just too many good players available from Buffalo to consider.
Well, exactly. I mean, you're not going to take him ahead of Chase Fraser,
I love Craig England's game. I mean, he makes other players better, but, you know, he belongs on a team that's going for a cup, not an expansion team.
Yeah. Other than the fact that the effort and the grit that he brings is a great example to set. But you got to get that from other guys. Like you said, he belongs on a team trying to push them over the top rather than trying to get them started.
Yeah, exactly.
Calgary, Tyler Digby. Obviously, it might be a bit of a surprise for some folks.
I could see him going in the draft because of his proximity or buyback after kind of thing. Just because of, you know, life starting to take its toll. He's living in Pittsburgh and traveling to Calgary. But another guy who's got a lot of heart and still got a few miles in the tank and, you know, really, really plays with his heart in his sleeve is Greg Harnett. So yeah. I could see some other team wanting Greg Harnett and trying to work something out and seeing him snatched. But, you know, then again, he's in that sort of just about over the, I don't want to say over the hill, but just for this kind of draft, you'd want to go with a younger guy who you could work with for a few more years.
Harnett's a guy I definitely thought of, 100%, because he is a gritty, like you said, hard on your sleeve, leadership type, tough as nails. But again, in the late 20s, maybe you go for a guy 4 or 5 or 6 years younger. Same thought process for me for Tyler Burton, who's a good faceoff guy, another. Yep. You know, he's absolutely worked his way into a regular spot in the NLL, and I really like him. And I think he'd be a great guy to have on your expansion team, but there are just other guys I just feel I need to take ahead of him.
Yeah.
Colorado Mammoth. I think, you know, we did all right. I mean, Greg Downey, I think, is a free agent. Otherwise, I really like his game. Steve Fryer, a free agent, so you're not going to pick him. Ryan Lee, I think a lot of people have talked about, the righty taken in the third or fourth round last year. He's someone to consider. He's a pretty good little player. I didn't want to build my expansion franchise around him, but I can see people thinking about him.
Yeah, well, I like Downey too. And the other guy who's kind of a mystery is the U.S. guy, Adams.
Brent Adams, right.
So I could see him ending up in San Diego this year. He's got electric feet and, again, needs to work it out. He needs to play games, and he's not getting into them at the NLL level, so I don't know what he's been doing, but we saw what he could do when he got some time when they had some injuries a couple of years ago. And Mike Mallory's another guy I really like who should be playing in the NLL on a regular basis on some team, but, you know, the NLL's right-handed heavy, so
yeah.
If I were the Vancouver Stealth or whatever they're going to be called, you know, I would be trying to make a play for him pronto.
Yeah, and I mean, it's tricky. You know, you look at how's he going to do in Colorado when they've got Jeremy Noble and Jacob Roué, and who knows if Stephen Keel will be back there. Everybody has a bunch of righties, and Mallory's going to be in tough to make it. But the more expansion teams there are, the more chances. And he is a guy that I think will wind up there. The Georgia Swarm, a bunch of guys on this list. We mentioned John Rannigan, who I think would be a great pick. Leo Sturris is a really real up-and-comer. One guy, if you're wondering why nobody picked Joel White, I mean, he missed half the season because of work. I'm not going to take that guy, but I think he's one of the best transition players in the league when he's available. And I think
Jordan Hall. I mean, there's guys
Jordan
there.
Hall. Yeah, Jordan Hall is in his 30s, and that to me is why, you know, I would look at the guys. You know, Kyle Matisse is younger. Kevin Orleman, I think, can be a franchise goalie, but I mean, Jordan Hall is, he just makes everybody around him better.
Well, you know, I can't see Rannigan not kind of ending up back in Philadelphia somehow, but. But again, you know, I can, because he's playing in Georgia, and obviously he committed to that a while ago, and he won a championship there, and
they really like him.
Yeah. There's like you said, there's quite a few defensive players there, and
Georgia. Honestly, the other guys in Georgia, Alex Krepinsek, who I thought they may well protect, Ethan O'Connor, transition player.
There's so many of them.
It's unbelievable.
Kind of like Saskatchewan, you know, it's like there's so many guys that could help your team, and it's like, you do.
Yeah, let's skip ahead to Saskatchewan since you mentioned them. We'll go back to the others. We don't have to go alphabetical. Sure. So you took Jeff Cornwall. And yep. I took Adrian Sorachetti.
They skated on Midski, which is a UFA, but is obviously going to sign back there. But you never know. His GM, Dan Richardson, in Vancouver or New Westminster might try and make a play for him.
Yeah. Marty Dinsdale doesn't go. That's a guy a lot of people thought would be taken. Jeremy Thompson's a free agent, so I don't think anybody's going to really take him. Jeff Schaller, the reigning MVP of the NLL Cup, 33 years old and under contract.
Yeah, that's right. He's under contract, isn't he? I actually took him off my list just because I thought, you know, why start there? But
I don't know if he wants to travel to San Diego or
yeah, no, he lives in Calgary.
He's got a young family, yeah. So I don't really see it, but you know, maybe you trade him back. But I mean, a great player that you could have taken. Just, I mean, Cornwall and Sorachetti, such great building blocks. Tyler Carlson's a free agent, so you don't have to take him. Dan Dawson, we addressed. Matt McGrady, I think he's a guy who could find his way to be into free agency, or he could step in with some of the Saskatchewan guys that are not going to be there. Like, well, we see Cornwall and Sorachetti both gone. And I believe Brett Midski is actually going into firefighting as well. And there may be another defender from Saskatchewan, a pretty high profile one that might be in the same boat that I really don't want to say anything about right now, but, you know, they could be needing to fill some spots there.
Well, it might be the best thing that ever happened to them, just to have some upward mobility in their roster for guys to get some time. So,
yes. Some of their guys that were practice squad that will probably go back. I mean, like Nick Finley, I would think, will go back there because they're really high on him. And I think he's a chance to play. And I think he's going to be a really good one. So,
well, it'd be interesting just to see what the draft brings us here, too, because, you know, there hasn't been a lot of guys that have been able to bust into the league, and this opens up spaces for every team to sort of inject some new blood into their roster and change their makeup. So every team will be a little bit different next year. That's for sure.
We do need to wrap up pretty soon. We've both got stuff to do, but New England. David Brock is a terrific leader, still a solid defender, but again,
yeah, he was on my list.
Yeah, in his 30s. A black horse for me to actually be taken is Matt Rambo, a Philadelphia guy born in just outside of Philadelphia and terrific field lacrosse player, a Twarton Award winner, and a guy whose game, because of his he's stocky, he's physical, he likes playing inside. I think his game could translate well to the box, and I think he's a guy that is going to be of interest to Philadelphia.
Yeah, we've covered all the other guys there that I had on my list, so we can move.
Rochester.
Who? Paul does.
I believe he's a free agent. I'm not 100% sure, but again, he's in his 30s. I would take Frank Brown ahead of him. 7 days.
Yeah, no, I mean, but they protected Scotty Campbell, which was interesting to say the least.
I think it's a great decision, honestly, because if he was available, I would have taken him and made him my captain as an expansion team.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a lot of guys like that out there. You know, even Dan Dawson or another guy we talked about. Yeah. But
Corey Vitterelli,
guy who can fill a net. But again, he's the kind of guy you need on a championship run team, not an expansion team, because he needs more hustle and energy, and he's a real finisher. I mean, he's a top-notch finisher.
Toronto Rock, Kieran McArdle obviously not going.
Well, Toronto Rock's a team we can talk about for a few minutes, because they got Magnuson, McArdle, Taylor. I mean, Damon Edwards, he's not a bad player. I mean, there's a lot of sort of tweener guys there.
A lot of them.
Toronto could possibly deal down on and do two for once. But I'd like to see McArdle get to a team that's going to give him, you know, some runs, because he's shown flashes. And I like Magnuson's game, and he's a face-off guy.
Really solid.
Yeah, and Taylor's another guy I think, you know, is not a ball carrier, but he's a good physical presence on the forward left side that he can make other guys better. And you know, that's really where the draft comes in. And this ends is just, what are these teams going to get in terms of like a marquee lefty or righty? They're going to get their Tom Schreiber or their Josh burn and I get somebody to work with them and make something happen right away.
And, you know, it's not even an easy decision if you limit with the Toronto Rock to say you can only take lefty shooting forwards whose first name is Dan, because Dan Taylor is pretty good. I might take Dan Craig ahead of him. I think he's quite a prospect.
Yeah, I don't know much about Dan Craig, but you know, he didn't play a lot of box towards the end of his junior and started a senior, and so he's a bit of a mystery. But
he's playing this summer. I actually saw him play Wednesday night, and he's coming along. Still has, I think, quite a bit of work to do to become a regular in the NLL, but he showed some flashes as well. So there's another guy. And here's one outlier. Zach Masson is on that list. When he comes in about 3 years, when he comes into the NLL, will be a stud defender. This guy is lights out good. And you can't take him right now, but in a couple of years in an expansion draft, somebody's going to take him, or Toronto's going to protect him at that point, or something is going to happen. I don't know. Who knows? He can't stay on their list forever. So I don't know, but just keep an eye on that name.
And there's also the Brown kid that Vancouver drafted 2 years ago. I think he's supposed to be a pretty good ball player, and he's tied up in Canadian University now, I think, playing hockey. But I don't know if he translates to the NHL, but I haven't seen that he's been playing any summer lacrosse. But guys are always kind of interesting, for sure.
Yeah. Cole Pickup, a Victoria guy.
Cole Pickup can play lacrosse. There's no two ways about it, but he's... He's smart, you know. He's just focusing on what's important to him right now, and he can always come back to lacrosse.
Yeah, Vancouver. You took O'Doherty.
I took Jackson. I got two.
Oh, you got them both. That's right. And you owe me a fourth round pick. So you got Casey Jackson and Chris O'Doherty, and other than that. I mean, Patrick Saunders scored over 40 goals one season, but I'm not sure an expansion team takes a 29-year-old lefty. Although Jackson's 28, but he seems like a young 28. I don't know.
Well, he doesn't have a ton of miles on him. He actually took a couple of years off and didn't play any lacrosse, but when he got out of Burnaby and got traded to Nanaimo, and ended up playing Victoria cost him a year or two. But I know Casey a little bit, and he's already got a really good head on his shoulders. I think he's got everything in the right perspective. He's going to possibly get the opportunity wherever he is this year to make a run at it and see if, you know, he can do it. So when you get a guy in that space, I think it's magic, because you've got their attention. They're going to do everything they can, because they're realizing that they're getting an opportunity that otherwise. So perfect storm for him.
And speaking of perfect storms, I think this draft and draft postmortem are done, unless you have anything else you want to add, Marty.
No, I'm good. It'll be interesting to see what really happens and how far off we are from
I think we'll be pretty far off.
But you know, it's understandable that we don't know the inner workings. And as I spoke to you last week, I mean, I know that when Chicago and New York did their draft, I know that Jamie Batley and Adam Mueller had the whole thing pretty much scripted before it hit the day that the draft was going to happen. So
yeah, it could be a 10 minute draft. It could be like, we take this guy, we take this guy, we take this guy. It could be a five. I mean, who knows? But it'll be interesting. Appreciate your time as always. It's always fun to chat about these things, and I'll post these up on IL Indoor so folks can take a look. And, of course, keep coming back for more Box La Beat throughout the summer now. And, of course, back into next season. Marty O'Neill, thanks so much. And everyone, thanks for listening across, friends. And we will see you next time.